passion. Passion points the way. So Linda asked me as I came into the space tonight if I was the one who had given a talk a while ago on intuition, and I was. And that process of listening to the voice for God, of being in alignment with it, I call it living in the flow these days, consumes me. It really consumes me. And it's, if we've had any success at Unity of Roanoke, it's because our board and I are in alignment with that place, that principle. And people say to me all the time, Rick, we're doing so good since you came here. No, the same energy that drew me drew you. Have you noticed how that works? And exactly the right people, always, when we're open, and exactly the answers that we need if we're willing to hear the answers. Think of all the times you've asked a question, but you really didn't want to know the answer to the question, right? So this idea of listening and the way that connects with passion, I hope I can make some sense of that tonight. Is it night? Yep, it is. What is it that you are really, really, really passionate about? Anybody? This isn't pay-per-view, by the way. Being connected, yes. Somebody else. What are you really, really passionate about?
Gardening.
Gardening. Awesome. Anybody else? I know Lucille's passionate about music. What else?
Writing.
Yeah. Anybody else? Risk. The fellowship, yes. And what is it about the fellowship, Mary, that really, because I've watched you grow into this in a beautiful way. The love here. Notice the love here. So we have these things that we're passionate about. And I have a feeling, it's my own belief, that passion, the place where we are really, really enthused about something, is the place within us where spirit is pouring itself into form, into expression, into demonstration in our world. Because I think it's a spiritual gift to have a great passion for something. I want to share a couple of quotes with you about passion that touched me. First one by John Maxwell, who's an author. A great leader's courage to fulfill his or her vision comes from passion, not position. Now, always remember that. It's not your position, you know. We can give you a job, but it can't give you the passion for the job. It can't give the passion, the thing that will let you go the extra mile. And now here's, how many people here have ever read anything about Howard Thurman? He was an amazing theologian. A few years ago, he died in 82, born in 1899. Went to Morehouse College and then went on, got his divinity degree, and then went back to teach at Morehouse. Amazing guy. He says this about passion. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. And I'm going to stop there and interrupt the quote. My nieces have been struggling with their career choices because they've been trying to figure out what will net them the most money. And I've invited them to let go of that. Because I know that if you do the thing that you are born to do, if you are passionate about what you work, you'll never work a day in your life. I haven't worked a day in years. That'll work. I get to hang out with people, and I journey through life with them, and I marry their children, and I bury their parents, and I do all the things that I do. But that'll work. It's a joy. So he continues, or let me continue. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself, what makes you come alive? What makes you come alive? And then go and do that. Go and do that. Whatever it is, gardening, talking to people. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. The world needs people who have come alive. I think that so often we're just kind of all just getting by, like if I don't look up at anybody, I won't get any more hurt. Well, what if I'm the one to heal the world? Look at your neighbor, say, you're the one. You're the one. You're the one. That's why we're here. That's what we're here to do. Now, I'm going to continue. Passion means, one of the many meanings for passion is strong and barely controllable emotion. Take a really deep breath. Uncontrollable emotion. I spent most of my adult life trying to control my emotions. Anybody else that resonate with anybody? Right? And I'm a horrid type A. You all already know that. I do and I do and I do and I do all my life. I've been a doer. And Spirit has banged me on the head, Linda, really hard this year to bring the balance back between being and doing. And those of us who are leaders, we end up here a lot, doing, 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 doing. So people often connect passionate people with enthusiasm. And people tell me that I'm enthusiastic, that you either like that or they don't like it at all, right? And I have been enthusiastic and passionate about a number of things. And one of the things that I've been very passionate about in my life is equality. In the 70s, I was the first guy I ever knew who was called a feminist. Yes! And I've not let it go. And I've marched and picketed and lobbied for women and for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered people and for everybody and anybody, for Syrians and all, you know, I'm very involved in interfaith work. And I am passionate, and I love those things. And it used to be that it was the doing, right? Rick, you can march, and I can give speeches, and I've done all those things. But there's another piece of this passion thing. Because all that we've done on the outside hasn't worked so well. Have you noticed that? It really hasn't. We still have huge racial issues. We make some progress, and we don't. And I think that we've had it wrong, or at least partly wrong. I think that the energy that we hold when we are dealing with the other, whoever you think of, when you think of the other, just have them in your mind. If we're saying to the other, think of the one that's the most, think of somebody, if you have anyone or a group of people that make you the most uncomfortable. I won't ask you to share with me who it is. And it could be people who think differently than you do politically. Take a deep breath. Right? So the energy that we hold about the other contaminates the field that we live in. And you cannot be holding on to some of the thoughts, and I'm a mind reader, so I'm aware. We all do. Here we are. We cannot be saying, I love you. There's no effect there. Like, clench your teeth and say, I love you. There's not love there. We're called to love each one. We teach a new thought that everyone is Christed, that everyone is filled with Spirit, that everyone has the capability within them to transform their life. Well, I can do mine. I've tried to fix some of you, kind of. Doesn't work. It took me about 60 years to figure that out. But one I can change, that's me. I can change me. So I've been thinking about this idea of passion. What if I hold passionately to the idea of oneness? What if I hold passionately to the idea of oneness? And I thought the songs we picked tonight were absolutely right on Spirit. I love the way that works. I love the way it works. So I'm passionate because for me, my passion about equality arises from the fact that we are one. We are emanations of one life. We are reflections of one presence, one power. Call it by whatever name you want to. You could call it, I have a friend who calls it Georgie. Doesn't matter. Because all of our words and all of our ideas point to something that's beyond our words and ideas. And I want to share with you one of my favorite scriptures from the Bible. It's real short, from Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, in Unity, we teach, and I'm not sure where you guys are at. I know some of you are Unity students. In Unity, we have this idea about Christ Jesus being the Christ that we live out individually based on our understanding of truth. So there's the Christ, that's the universal presence of God, goes by many names. Jesus, the man from Nazareth. Jesus Christ, him fully embodied, his own awareness of his indwelling Christ. Christ Jesus is when you and I live from that place that we know that Christ indwells us. It's not that hard. So think about that person I asked you to hold in mind a couple of minutes ago that really is the one, that group that annoy you. They also are Christed. Take a deep breath. And we will never, in my opinion, fix out there till we fix here. And even more important, perhaps, fix here. Who am I withholding love from? And if I don't withhold love, what will happen? You see, I've learned that when we love each other, really love each other, we lift the whole energy of a space. I'm going to give you a little... Mary, how long do I have to go? Okay. So I want to share with you quickly an idea, and you'll hear more. I'll share the material with Mary. This fall... how many of you have ever read of Dr. Sharif Abdullah? Dr. Abdullah, you've heard of him. So Dr. Abdullah wrote a book about 14, 15 years ago called Creating a World That Works for All. And one of the things in his book, in the middle of the book, was a list of about, 50 or 60 things that are problems in our world, right? And he listed all the problems, drug use and lack of employment and housing and on and on and on and on. And he says, we think we have these 50 or 60 problems, but we don't. We have one problem. Can you guess what the one problem is? What do you think? Anybody willing? Lack of love? Well, it shows up this way. We're not connected. We're not connected to each other. We're not connected to the earth. We're not connected to our source. And we in New Thought, we kind of go through good motions about a lot of it sometimes. You know, oh, I'm good, I'm fine. I call that the jump to pink ponies and purple merry-go-rounds. Like, oh, everything is fine. Or we dive in as doers big time. We're going to fix the world. But we're not energetically fixing the world because we bring all of our fear and our concern. So anyway... Dr. Abdullah was at our recent Unity People's Convention, which was in San Antonio, Texas. Amazing stuff came out of that conference. You'll hear about it over the time. But he's launching an experiment with New Thought communities and Unity and Religious Science or Centers for Spiritual Living and all of the independents. And we're going to be a pilot this fall and the next year it starts. We're going to use what we know about energy because we know, right? In New Thought, we know everything is energy. Our bodies are just energy. Your dear friend who is making his transition or going to be soon, yes, the energy of the body will just be transformed. It'll be released again into the ethers and recycled and recreated, right? He's going to train people in communities to work with energy to come together every Sunday, either before or after your service, and we're going to shift things. How many have heard of the Transcendental Meditation folks who shifted the crime rate in D.C.? And the only problem is they stopped doing it, right? Dr. Abdullah used those same ideas to shift Cameroon out of a civil war. Not him alone, but a lot of people. So I want to share this with you so you'll remember it when I send stuff to Mary about how you can participate. I would love if some of you would just hold that space because this idea of oneness, this is real. It's not just an intellectual exercise. And I think in New Thought sometimes we get it also intellectual. But it isn't about the intellect. You've got to get your heart involved. Emotions are the wisdom of spirit is emotional. More and more I know this. More and more I know it from my own working with guidance. And so often my brain tells me I should be doing this, that, or the other thing. And when I check in, my heart says no. Oh... But I want to do. No, just rest. Be here now. Can I be here now? Can I be with it? Can I be with you? Am I willing? So this idea of oneness and actually, for me, shifting from the super doer to being, it's been a difficult journey. And so I share it. I tend to share everything that's difficult for me because I invite people to hold me accountable. And if you see me doing something else, email me. Send me a Facebook message. Okay. Where am I in this? There is a dark side of passion as well. So we need reason, because just passionate about things without some reason to double check it. Getting this idea we have to be in balance, that's the optimal place. For me, I work there a lot to bring myself back to the balance point, back and back and back. And I invite you, with whatever you're doing, to experience and express your oneness, to see it in others. And to notice that the things that really annoy you about others are probably things you should look at in yourself. Pain points to the place, always. Someone pulls me off my center, can rattle me. I'm looking at, why? Holy banana peels, Batman. What is going on here? Right? So there's almost always something in me, something I'm unwilling or unable to notice. And I've been a true student for 42 years. I'm just finally getting warmed up. So, it's just a journey. There's no place to get to. Have you realized that? I know some of you have been part of this fellowship since it formed, since it moved on its own long ago. And there's no place to get to. I just want to break that to you. Only peace, that's where we get to. There's no destination. The journey is home. The process is the purpose. So we're being ever called. I believe every speaker I listen to, I actually come on your website sometimes and listen to your speakers. I do, because I'm working on Sunday mornings, right? Sabbath for me is Monday. So be brave. On the way up here, I'm listening to Rising Strong, Dr. Brené Brown's, and I love her. I've talked about her before. And I've noticed how when I'm really in the flow of it, everything is working together. And I know that for you. I know that for the fellowship. I know that for the journey you are on together. And coming to this space, which is amazing in so many interesting ways, and seeing your faces, and the fact that I know some of you now more than casually, it's amazing. And I also want to let you know, and you have all kind of ministers to help you, but if you're ever downstate and you want to come out and hang out at Royal Oak, and even if it's during the week, do stop by, and I'll buy a cup of tea, and we'll have a conversation. And so I just invite you to know with me that we have work to do in New Thought. We're called to be the light, to be the light of the world. Well, Myrtle Fillmore would once often said after things, let's just get on with it, right? And wherever you're hurting, wherever you feel stuck, that's a place you do your work. And whatever modality you use to heal, if you need another one, I'd come up and do a workshop on the work itself. I know that there are some people up here who are doing something with the work, I think. It's my principal way to heal Rick. And if I'll do my work, I hope you'll do yours. And I'm grateful to be here. So thank you so much. Love you.